This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. On Beacon Hill today, advocates of breastfeeding declared victory. They were applauding a decision by all 49 maternity facilities across Massachusetts to ban formula companies from giving away free samples to new mothers.
Massachusetts is the second state to go bag-free, a reference to the free diaper bags and formula that companies traditionally give away to mothers who have just given birth. Rhode Island's seven hospitals eliminated the bags and free formula last year.
Advocates of the movement say the formula gift bags are a marketing technique that lowers breastfeeding rates. They argue that it's a conflict of interest for hospitals to allow the practice, which is called a not-so-tacit endorsement of formula over breastfeeding.
But opponents call the ban misguided. They say it won't get more women to breastfeed, but it will deprive poor women of formula. And they say it sends the wrong message to women who can't or choose not to breastfeed.
So, listeners, what's your view on this? Is the ban on industry-sponsored formula giveaways sound medical practice? Or does it smack of a kind of rigid pro-breastfeeding ideology? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston and join the conversation there. Joining us now is Dr. Bobbi Phillips. She's a professor of pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine and director of the Birthplace at Boston Medical Center. She helped convince BMC to become one of the first hospitals in the state to ban formula gift bags giveaways. Welcome to Radio Boston, Bobbi Phillips. Great to have you.
Thanks very much for having me.
Also with us from New York City, Amy Tudor. She was a practicing OBGYN at both Beth Israel and Brigham and Women's Hospitals in Boston. She gave up her clinical practice to raise four kids and is now author of the blogs Ask Dr. Amy and The Skeptical OB. Great to have you, Amy Tudor. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start with you, Bobbi Phillips. Tell me why it's so important that the state's hospitals have banned this practice of industry-sponsored giveaways of formula.
I think the most important thing is that hospitals should not serve as a marketing middleman. And so this ban that all of the 49 hospitals voluntarily agreed to do, and we celebrated today at the State House, it's really about stopping marketing the product.
So tell us how you became interested in this campaign to ban this free formula. What did you see as a practicing doctor?
So in 1997 or so, our hospital became the journey to become a baby-friendly hospital, which is a hospital that does certain steps that signifies excellence in breastfeeding support. And as part of that journey, one of the things that we needed to do was to no longer give out these bags. So that was our story at BMC. Other hospitals in the state have different stories, but at BMC, it was particularly about getting this award.
Mm. But you mentioned, you referred to these bags as sort of an inappropriate marketing technique by the formula companies. Is that all that's wrong with it? I mean, what's specifically wrong with providing free formula, for example, to low-income mothers who might need it?
So just to be really clear, and this was discussed today at our ceremony, this voluntary stoppage is not about not giving mothers formula. If a mother needs formula at our hospital when she leaves, we will give her formula. What this is about is stopping this marketing technique. And I just want to comment that this marketing technique of giving free things to hospitals and having doctors or nurses hand it out and promote this brand is so successful that it's listed in marketing 101 textbooks as the way to do it.
Mm. So let me bring you into the conversation, Amy Tudor. What's your concern about this movement to ban these baby formula gift bags?
Well, I have a lot of concerns, but first I want to say that often in these issues, where you stand is where you sit. But in my case, I want to make it very clear, I'm a proponent of breastfeeding. I breastfed all four of my children till they weaned themselves, and it worked for us and our family. But that doesn't mean that everybody should be pushed, forced, cajoled, shamed into breastfeeding. And I think these baby-friendly initiatives are really lactivist-friendly initiatives. They make breastfeeding advocates.
Wait a minute, you used the word lactivist, so that's pro-breastfeeding activists.
Yes, a lot of breastfeeding activists refer to themselves as lactivists. And breastfeeding is good, but that doesn't mean that everyone can do it. And most importantly, it doesn't mean that every woman wants to do it. It's interesting to me that it's a way that women use their bodies that other women don't give them the freedom to make their own choice. They try to shame them if they don't want to use their breasts for breastfeeding.
Well, Amy Tudor, let me push back a little bit on that. I'm sure Bobby Phillips wants to come back on this as well. As we know, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends breastfeeding. We know that natural mother's milk is full of antibodies and other good stuff. Based on that, do hospitals have a role to play, any role at all, in convincing or at least encouraging or promoting breastfeeding, in your view?
Well, I think we should always be enthusiastic about breastfeeding and about helping women who want to breastfeed. But the reality is that the scientific evidence is conflicting, it's weak, and it is fraught with confounding variables. For example, a lot of the studies that claim to show that women who breastfeed have children who are healthier in some way neglect to take into account that breastfeeding is very much an economic and class issue. So wealthier women, white women, more educated women tend to breastfeed more. And those women may have access to health insurance and other factors that are what actually accounts for the improved health of their children. And so when you have these breastfeeding initiatives, what you really do is penalize women who are poor. You take away a gift to them, and in exchange, you know, there's really no evidence that it keeps them, that it convinces them to breastfeed.
Amy Tudor, stand by. We'll get to more of your points in a minute because you've put a lot on the table here, and I want to give Bobby Phillip a chance to respond. Let's respond, first of all, to this general idea that this is sort of this movement is sort of driven by an ideology.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that I appreciate those comments, and I would disagree with a lot that was just said. The thinking that this is an initiative by some crazed group of people that are going to force women into breastfeeding. One of our speakers today at the State House was Lawrence Smith, who is the medical director of the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. This is a very important public health initiative. If anything, I would say that the evidence now on breastfeeding is rock solid, so solid that the American Academy of Pediatrics has made strong statements, the American College of OBGYN, family physicians, as well as the World Health Organization. So I think in the 80s, there was this thought that the evidence wasn't solid. No longer. The evidence now is rock solid about feeding.
So if the evidence is rock solid, are you saying that therefore hospitals should, well, if not pressure, at least encourage and do everything they can to convince new mothers to breastfeed?
It's a very fine balance that we have to choose, have to work on every single day. And as I'm a practicing pediatrician, I see it every day. Not to pressure women who really don't want to breastfeed, because this is about informed choice. So in our hospital, we actually have something. It's IFF. It means informed formula feeder. That means someone spoke with the mom. She has said, I would like to formula feed, and we leave it at that. This isn't about a crazed group of people that are doing this. This is a very important public health initiative.
And pick up on Amy. Respond as well to Amy Tudor's point about this being a class issue. That is, for mothers who might be economically disadvantaged, new mothers who might need that formula for a variety of reasons, maybe through their own choice or because maybe their own milk didn't come in, for example. Doesn't this put them at a disadvantage? Advantage taking away this free formula?
It's a very interesting point. I think we serve as a great example. Boston Medical Center, where I work, we're an urban safety net hospital. Mm-hmm. We care for primarily poor minority women. Our breastfeeding initiation rate is, last year at our count, was 95%. Our point of our work over the last 12 years is it was not the mothers that didn't want to breastfeed. It was the system that was obstructing it. We were separating mothers and babies. We didn't know what we were talking about. And the formula guys were in the hospitals doing whatever they wished with their free food and their pens and their calendars and their diaper discharge bags. And we fell into it and we got sucked into it. But now we're showing at our hospital, all women want the best for their babies. So if you support them and educate them and listen to them, they go on and have success. I think the disparities that we're seeing are due to those issues alone.
Mm. Now, let me ask how, for example, Boston Medical Center would deal with an economically disadvantaged new mother who might want formula. Would she have the option of getting free formula directly from the hospital if the offer from the industry is no longer there?
Well, I'm blessed that I take care of these moms every single day, and they trust me with their care. And if we have a mom who says, you know, I think I might need a little bit of formula when I go home, it's a weekend or whatever, I can't get to the WIC office or whatever, we would give them some formula. This is not about not giving mothers formula. What it is about is looking at what we should be promoting in terms of health.
Amy Tudor, does that put any of your concerns about this, does it ease them at all?
No, because I don't think it's true. I think the evidence about the benefits of breastfeeding show that the rock-solid part is that the benefits are small. In a first-world country, breastfeeding really doesn't make that much of a difference. Go into the local kindergarten, look at the children. You can't pick out who's breastfed and who was formula-fed. And I think it is really deeply unfortunate that medical providers refer to breast as best, as if women who formula feed, either because they cannot breastfeed or because they choose not to breastfeed, are choosing to give their children something inferior. Formula is not poison. It does not hurt babies. And I think Dr. Phillip made an interesting point about what she believes to be the success of her program. She talked about initiation rates for breastfeeding. In other words, that's what women told people when they left the hospital. That tells us nothing about whether or not they breastfed. And it really isn't that important what they say they're going to do. What's important is what they do. A recent study that was published just 2 months ago showed that 2/3 of women who claim that they're going to exclusively breastfeed don't breastfeed. And one of the most interesting things about the breastfeeding literature, and I actually reviewed it this morning in preparation for this, there is not a single study about improving rates of breastfeeding that actually asked mothers why they chose not to breastfeed. And I think it's very unfortunate that we're treating women as if we can manipulate them with gift packs or not giving them gift packs or with, you know, making the baby stay with them in their room, when we really need to listen to women. And women are telling us that breastfeeding is hard for them, that it's inconvenient, that it's often painful to get started. And if you work, unless you have a very high-level job, a professional job with an office, it's almost impossible to keep breastfeeding a baby if you have to go back to work.
But let me ask you about this one issue that I thought Bobby Phillip addressed pretty well, and it's a concern that I would have, and that is, formula is a medical product. It's produced by a company that's primary purpose is to make money. Do they belong, when I say they, the formula representatives, if you will, do they belong in the hospitals encouraging women one way or another with regard to any healthcare decision?
I think that kind of misses the point. You know, it reminds me of the abstinence advocates who say that we shouldn't show kids condoms in public schools because if we show them condoms, they will run out and have sex. And we know that's not true. And the idea that women decide to formula feed because the hospital gave them a pack, I think there's absolutely no evidence to support that and no evidence to support the idea that not giving them a pack is going to change their rates of breastfeeding. So if we're interested in actually improving breastfeeding rates instead of feeling good about promoting breastfeeding, if we're interested in what works, we have to ask women about their difficulties, help them with those difficulties, and respect them and not make them feel guilty if they choose not to breastfeed.
Listeners, we're talking about a ban on industry-sponsored formula giveaways here in Massachusetts. Does it make sense to you? Is that good medical policy, or is it a kind of rigid pro-breastfeeding ideology? Join the conversation, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We have a lot of listeners, Bobby and Amy, who want to get in on this conversation. So let's go to a couple of them now. Jennifer is calling from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi. I have to agree with, I believe it's Amy on this one. I gave birth last year. I knew as did everyone else in my birth class, well before I even went into labor, what I was going to try. Turns out I had an emergency C-section. It took an extra 2 days for my milk to come in. I needed those samples to get me through that first week without having to go out and buy something, without having to expose the, you know, going to the grocery store or whatnot. And it turns out I breastfed successfully for 7 months, but taking those samples away is the silliest thing on the planet. I mean, Similac gave me a bag with that was a freezer bag, insulated cooler, which allowed me to take my pumped milk to daycare when I went back to work. You know, it was a great emergency when I got the stomach flu at 5 months and all of a sudden I had nothing. It's nice to have a little backup every once in a while and know that you're not stuck.
Sure. So Jennifer, the an argument there from Jennifer, Bobby, that the formula giveaways provide a nice bit of backup to people like Jennifer who had every intention of breastfeeding.
I think I certainly hear and appreciate the fact that women have trouble breastfeeding. It's the wheel of obstruction is what I call it, and the hospital services are only one issue here. We certainly would never consider giving out a gift certificate to McDonald's from the cardiac unit. So, you know, this is a marketing.
But is it really comparable to that?
I think that it is if you look at the health statistics. I would love to go back to two things that Amy said. Number one, our breastfeeding rates are based on after women leave counting up every single feed. So the fact that 85% of the women at Boston Medical Center are giving more breast milk than formula is based on looking at charts every single month. The second thing is the evidence here is very strong. The more a woman breastfeeds, the less her risk of breast cancer. So her idea that this evidence is not strong, it just simply is not true. It's just not up-to-date information.
Well, let's take some more calls. Julie is calling from Waltham. Hi, Julie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I guess I have to stick to my original point. This idea that if we don't allow the formula companies into the hospital that people can't get free formula, they push it down your throats. I mean, I got it in the mail when I was pregnant when I have never bought formula. And I'm so horribly offended at this idea of your one guest that these two things are equal, that breast milk and formula are interchangeable. I'm livid about that, and I'd like to hear more from you.
All right. Well, Julie, that was Amy Tudor, and I don't think I'm going to let Amy Tudor speak for herself, but what I heard Amy saying was not that they're necessarily comparable, but that new mothers should have the right to make their own decision about that. But Amy Tudor, take it away and respond to Julie, if you would.
Yes. I think, you know, the whole tenor of the discussion is worth looking at, and it's the assumption that the good mother breastfeeds. I think that's a very harmful assumption. Breastfeeding is good. It has benefits. I liked it. I did it. But it's not so good that it should be the position of the hospital, of any organization, that good mothers will only breastfeed and that there's no legitimate reason for not breastfeeding. Some women don't like it. They even could do it, but they don't want to do it. And there's really that you cannot point to a single child in the United States who was harmed by not being breastfed. That's the reality. Women know that. They see other people's children. You know, when you try to convince women that they're being bad mothers because they give formula, first of all, most of them were raised on formula, so they know they turned out fine. And they look around and they see happy, healthy children who have had formula. So I really think we, in our effort to promote something that's good, we have totally oversold it. And I hear all the time from women who feel terrible because of their work situation, that their spouse doesn't support them, because they just don't feel good about breastfeeding, that other women and health professionals are making them feel like they're bad mothers. And breast milk is good, but it's not so good that it makes the difference between a good mother and a bad mother.
Bobby Phillip, respond to this idea. I mean, this is an issue that is so laden with emotion. And, you know, as I've heard your argument sitting there, I don't hear you as part of this what was the term, the sort of, fanatics in favor of breastfeeding no matter what. And yet you bring up a movement like this and you automatically ignite this debate.
I feel so badly for the moms out there who are trying, and every mom wants to be a good mom, and I see it every single day, and we try to support them so much. This initiative, the primary focus, actually is not about breastfeeding, which we're talking about so much here. It's about inappropriate marketing in the hospital setting. It's wrong. It's wrong for doctors to be handing out brand products that then new mothers will spend $700 more a year to go out and buy the brand product versus the generic. It's simply wrong for hospitals to be getting this stuff for free and then handing it to people. Families are being duped. They don't even know that they are. This is much more about inappropriate marketing than it is about breastfeeding.
But you said one thing I want to ask you about, Bobby Phillip, is you said that in the at Boston Medical Center, if a new mother really needed formula, you would send her home with
some.
But that might not be the case in all Massachusetts hospitals. I think it is. Really?
I do think it is. I know these hospitals, I'm so proud of them. These folks have worked so hard. Please understand that this, for many hospitals, is not a cost-neutral change, that they were getting something for free. They looked at the data and someone said, you know what? We're going to give out a free T-shirt, or we're going to give out a free back-to-sleep sack. This was not cost-neutral. I'm so proud of everyone for doing it.
Let's try to get one more call in at least. Kathy is calling from Cambridge. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I fear that you are inappropriately marginalizing and penalizing poor women as one of the only, or actually as the only, industrialized nation that doesn't have paid maternity leave. It is virtually impossible for someone of dire financial means to delay going back to work and or to afford a very expensive breast pump. So by denying formula, you're not at all, in my opinion, encouraging or helping these women who are very poor to breastfeed. Instead of focusing on this, why not have programs that will sponsor breast pumps or something of the like?
Kathy, it's a great question. Let me put that to Bobby Phillip.
I guess we work so... It's a great point. I think we work so hard. I take care of poor women every single day. We work so hard with them to try to support their breastfeeding, and I'm not sure what it means if I were to hand them a pack, which I'm looking at right here from Similac, and it kind of says when they get home, oh, Dr. Phillip gave me this big, huge bottle of formula. Maybe it's okay if I use a little bit.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what that means.
Amy Tudor, our time is almost gone here, but I want to sort of give you a chance to respond to a final thought. Is there a divide between what the science really says about breastfeeding and what doctors believe and tell their patients? I mean, it sounds like that's sort of the crux of what you're worried about.
Well, I think we oversell it. I mean, there's a terrific book that is for lay people, for everybody, called Is Breast Best by Joan Wolfe. And it actually is a multi-hundred page review of the literature, which shows what I've said, that yes, there are benefits to breastfeeding, but not enough to shame women into doing it. And my concern is that it's just become an issue of competition between mothers, and that by breastfeeding, you announce yourself as a better mother. And, you know, it's okay. One of the things I don't hear from Dr. Phillip, which disturbs me, is the idea that it's okay not to breastfeed.
Okay.
Not just that you can't, but just you don't want to.
Amy, let me give the last word to Bobby Phillip, since you're one of the sponsors of this movement here in Massachusetts.
It's totally okay to do whatever you want. My job, all of our jobs, is to help families. This is about marketing. The main thing is it's about marketing.
All right, we'll leave the conversation there for now. Listeners, the debate continues at radioboston.org, so you can log in there and finish the conversation. Bobby Phillip, professor of pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine and director of the Birthplace at Boston Medical Center, thanks so much for coming in today. We appreciate it. And Amy Tudor, author of the blogs Ask Dr. Amy and The Skeptical OB. Amy Tudor, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, The Song of Achilles, a highly acclaimed retelling of the Iliad, 10 years in the making. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.